Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome back to Believe in Softball. I'm your host, Jenna Becerra, and however you got here today, whether it was an audio podcast platform like Apple, Spotify, etc., or watching on YouTube, thank you. Subscribe and rate the show wherever you get your pods. And you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Believe in Softball. That's B-L-E-A-V. There's merch, people. There's always merch. Click on the link in our bio on either of those pages or go to shop.believe.com to purchase. Three different shirts available for you, covering our bases, safer out, and catch you soon. All right, let's go through today's batting order. First, we'll be covering our bases. I'll share some call-outs from the softball world. Then we'll head into today's interview with Taraya Flowers, someone who has elevated our sport in multiple ways. Then we'll end things with the foul tip of the week, where we share tips to help us get better. All right, let's go. Covering our bases. The tournament is here. BetOnline is your bracket headquarters for this season with the best bracket contests out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up until the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices, and even track your bracket real-time all the way through the tournament. Head to BetOnline today and get in on all the action. Remember to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. It's March Madness, people. BetOnline. The game starts here. And the best opportunity with Rip It Sports also starts here. I'm getting the most out of my Ringer Turfs. Wore them again during my broadcasts this past weekend. And they're just cool because their mission is to elevate female athletic performance. They understand that women and girls deserve gear specifically tailored to our unique needs. Gear that fits right, performs well, and meets our demands. So, Rip It is offering an exclusive 15% discount. Just use the code JENNA15 when you shop at ripit.com. That's JENNA15. This is your chance to experience the same quality gear that helps so many women and girls excel. And once again, softball just continues to excel. And I want to give a recap of me calling the Stanford Cal series this past weekend, because I think a few things stood out that apply across our game. And everyone loves a good rivalry, especially a top 20 matchup rivalry. So just some background, it was the first sweep that Stanford has had in Berkeley since 2013. I think they needed that as a top 10 team after Sac State. But I think it came down to a couple things. You know, there was absolutely timely hitting and they hit multiple home runs. Always going to help. But I think the timely defensive plays also stood out. River Mailer literally saved a run, the tying run, from coming across. She dove for a ball up the middle, turned around blind, was seated on the ground, and made an accurate throw to home to get the runner. Like that, plus a textbook play from Emily Jones in center field. You know, it's a base hit up the middle. They're trying to score from second base. She one hops it to Allie Canichero behind the plate on a dime. Perfect. It would have cut the lead that Stanford had to 4-3. So they would have been, Cal Bears would have been within one. And I just got the defense wins championships vibes from those couple of plays. And in the circle too, Reagan Krause, Pac-12 pitcher of the week, this concept of you need more than one pitcher. We always talk about it. Even though they have Nedry Kennedy, they have the best pitcher in the country. You still need a staff. And they didn't even have to use Nijah in game three at all. Kraus actually walked away with 3 wins on the week, including in the doubleheader against Sac State. She had a career high 10 Ks in the second game they played, which they did win. So I just think that that staff, that complement is so important. And the timing of Kraus kind of settling in and stepping up when Pac-12 play started and conference starts, that's another thing that's going to lead to success for any team. And even though the bats were hot, right, I think the pitching and the defense is what allowed them to not just win the series, but sweep the series. It is so hard to beat a team 3 times, but those things are what stepped up to allow them to be that consistent 3 days in a row. And also for you D1 softball podcast listeners, I asked Nijeri on our interview with her a few weeks ago, you know, her brother who committed to Cal football, was he going to wear Cal stuff to her games in Berkeley? I can confirm exclusively here that he did not. He did not wear Cal stuff to the games. He didn't wear Stanford stuff either. He just kept it neutral, which honestly, I think that's the only way you can go. You can't abandon, you know, your school, but you also can't really abandon your sister. So just like keep it down the middle. That's the only way you can win. And then for Cal, I think some takeaways that, again, teams across the country, like these themes stick out. They have the bats. They lead the Pac-12 in home runs. They were hitting over 300 as a team. But you have to make adjustments. And they're very capable of it. But it's also about the timeliness. You know, sometimes the bats were quiet, but other times, like, they were hitting. They out-hit Stanford 11 hits to 9 in game 3. But it was the timeliness of the hits, like getting the hits with runners on base, that made the difference for the Cardinal versus the Bears in that situation. I will say Cal had some great defensive plays, too. I think they're getting better at this. You know, Ansaldo at third base had some great plays. Butler at second base, a couple of dives, a good snag. And then Mika Lee had a catch at the wall in center field. And I think these types of things are going to be what helped them up level as a group as the season goes on. And I have to give a shout out to a couple of freshmen. Maggie Quiroga and Randy Rowling are ones to watch. You know, it's such a young battery. They're freshmen, and she's getting the most innings in the circle, and then Quiroga getting the most innings behind the plate. They just got to keep chipping away. I think they can get there. It's just all about managing failure and adjusting to the speed of the game at this level. And then I just have to talk about the people overall, because again, this is what really makes us love this sport. I mean, it doesn't get any better than having All-American alums as head coaches at their alma maters who played against each other in the rivalry. It just doesn't get old. And they were joking, for example, too, about throwing BP. Like, Coach Spencer's out there throwing some BP to Cal, and she said something to Coach Alistair, and Coach Al's like, yeah, I mean, I could probably throw 52. I got a crooked arm circle, but I could make it work, you know, and that banter just being there is so fun, you know, even before a big game like they were playing. Both teams also added Olympians to the staff. You have Sarah Groenewegen from Team Canada, bronze medalist in Tokyo on Stanford staff. Then you have Danielle O'Toole from Team Mexico who went to Tokyo on Cal staff. It's like, those are the ones throwing BP. I mean, Danielle O'Toole, Toolie, a friend of the show, right? And she's out on maternity leave. She just had a baby like a week or so ago. But those are the people on staff that are throwing BP. Like, what's going to set you up for success more than that? And also my favorite thing ever, I was so thankful to our producers for putting it in, but there's a photo of both of them from Athletes Unlimited when they played together. And as we've talked about on the show, there's a theme usually every week that each team has on Athletes Unlimited since it changes every week. And one week they were the Toon Squad from Space Jam. And so it was the two of them in their Toon Squad gear. And it was just like the best. I'm so happy we could highlight something fun like that. And the people in terms of alumni, it was in Berkeley, and the Cal softball alumni showed up for a tailgate on Sunday, including people like Jolene Henderson, who is a Hall of Famer inducted this past fall in Cal Athletics. And they had Big Give, a fundraiser earlier in the week too, to raise money for the program. And I just always give it up to the communities like that that show up for their programs. And one last call out on the rivalry piece. So Allie Clements hit a home run, a solo shot this weekend. There was a young Cal fan, probably 8 years old, little girl who got the ball, the home run ball afterwards. It was hit into the stands in left field. And she wouldn't give it to Allie Clements' family. you know, even when they offer to pay her for it, they offered to like, hey, if you let us have that, we can replace it and send you a ball from Stanford. I think even at one point, you know, Nigel's family was like, yeah, we could get an autograph from Nigel if you want. And none of it swayed her. She was like, I am too loyal of a Bears fan, basically. Like, she was like, I want to go to Cal. None of this is swaying me. And I have to say, it starts young, it's deep, and I respect it. So the second thing I wanted to mention as well is just a few call outs around the country too. Big Sky Conference play is starting. Sac State has had a few Power 5 wins. I mentioned Stanford, Michigan, BYU earlier. They played Cal this week. The Hornets were actually picked third in the Big Sky, and they start conference play versus Northern Colorado this weekend, who was picked second. And because I called the Sac State Cal game as well in the midweek, I talked to head coach Lori Perez, and you know, she said after being regular season co-champs last year to not be picked in the top two, she doesn't pay too much attention to it, but like any little locker room motivation that you can get where it's a little bit like, all right, let's see where we all end up, you know, certainly helps. So I'm going to be interested in following them and that conference. And then the fact that the Big Ten is finally starting. Like, yes, we saw some matchups that did not count towards conference play, but Big Ten teams playing each other, wonderful. But now we're going to see conference play. And the fact that these teams finally get to have their home openers, like Northwestern finally gets to play on their field. And then especially after the exciting news with their stadium that's going to be upgraded and all that, it's just like, thank goodness, like they finally get to have that feeling, because there's nothing like home openers really at all. Some other teams to watch too. I've mentioned some before, but keep an eye on Penn State. They're also playing Indiana this weekend. So both have had good starts to this season, and the best start ever actually for Penn State in the early part of the season. And Indiana's leading the Big Ten in home runs and stolen bases, and they're up there in a bunch of categories. So I just think these are two teams that have been maybe more quietly kind of going about their business this season, but two to definitely keep watch over. Obviously, Ole Miss took the series from LSU, the first losses for the Tigers this entire season. They're playing Georgia this weekend. So that is quite a gauntlet for them, first of all. But, you know, let's see how they respond. Do they let this kind of high that they're on right now, do they let it overwhelm them, or do they let it fuel them? You know, and a team who has done that is Louisiana. I know I've mentioned them before because obviously they beat OU. But what's impressed me is that they've won 8 straight games since. And they swept South Alabama, who is kind of this SEC slayer this year. They beat 3 different SEC teams already. They're a solid ball club. And so to see Louisiana react like this to where it seems like it's catapulted them, it's a good sign on their journey for the rest of the season. And then Kansas, who swept a ranked Baylor team this past weekend. Again, swept. That is so hard. I'm never going to get over how, you know, much I need to express that, because it's difficult. It's difficult. And they were able to do it. And they have been, again, stacking up some good wins and some good momentum before that. Let's see what they do from here. And then UCF as well. They actually took the series from Kansas when they played in the Big 12 this year. And the Knights are playing Texas this weekend. It's their first year in the Big 12 too. I've been just in general interested in seeing their path, because I just really like the approach and how they play the game. So we'll keep an eye on that as well. And actually, on the D1 Softball podcast, we talk about this and more in depth. The new episode came out this week with my co-host, Amanda Lorenz. And the two of us chop it up and have a good time. Afterward, Amanda said that it was her favorite episode to record so far, by the way. So just saying, check it out. You can find it on the D1 Softball YouTube. And the In the Circle podcast that is a part of D1 Softball now has some great stuff, as usual. Friends of the show, Eric and Victor. There's also a conversation with a believer. So a past guest on this show, head coach at Duke, Marissa Young. So check it out. And then to bring it home, just what's coming up, my Pac-12 Network's broadcasting slate continues. I'm calling the series with Arizona playing at Cal. I'm doing the entire series, solo, play-by-play, and color. Obviously coming off the Stanford-Cal series and the Sac State and Cal midweek on Pac-12 Networks. And, you know, I've been asked multiple times, even earlier in the season too, like, which teams do I think we should keep an eye on that could surprise people, and even particularly in the Pac-12. And I've said Cal and Arizona from the early days, and it's for a reason. They're coming from different perspectives. You know, Arizona's got a lot of history, and they didn't make the tournament last year for the first time in decades. So this is a reset for them. Whereas Cal has made the tournament last year for the first time in years. So they are back on the rise. And it's again, more head coaches at their alma maters. It's Chelsea Spencer again, obviously, but then Caitlin Lowe. So they're playing against each other the way they did when they were on the field. They played against each other in college too. And actually all six of the Pac-12 head coaches who lead their alma maters are playing against each other. Utah and Stanford as well, with Amy Hoag and Jessica Allister on the other side of the bay is happening at the same time. So it's going to be interesting. You got some UCLA and UW action as well with Kelly I and Heather Tarr, and that's always a fun matchup to see. It's going to be a good one in the pack. So with all this, I'm actually going to be in Berkeley 7 times in 10 days. I was originally doing the Utah and Stanford streams on Saturday and Sunday, but now I'm doing the whole series at Cal for the linear TV productions on Pac-12 Network. So we'll see if they allow Stanford alums on that side of the bay that much. We'll see. I'll keep you posted. But again, let's back the pack while it's still intact. And someone else who can relate to that sentiment is today's guest. So let's head into the interview. She is the Loyola Marymount head coach, 2-time Olympic medalist with Team USA, NCAA national champion and All-American at UCLA, and Bruin Hall of Fame member, Tariah Flowers. Tariah, thank you for joining. I'm excited.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I mean, it was really, really nice to meet you in person at Mary Nutter, and then I got to see you briefly at the preseason tournament at Stanford. And usually I interview people first, and then I get to meet them later, but we got to flip this around, so that's nice.
Yeah. Hey, setting new trails, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I'm sure the listeners will not be surprised about where I'm going to start with this conversation, because I've told others of your teammates for Team USA the same thing, but the Dream Team Sports Illustrated cover from Athens back in 2004. Yep, right there in the background. I saw it. I saw it right away. It's awesome. I still have it. It was definitely one of those, like, when I was growing up, just inspirational things to see and think about, like, what do you want to dream big to be and all of those things. And in softball, it happened to be the path that I took. And I've had actually, I think, a good amount, I want to say over half now, of your teammates and all of you in that photo now. And I never would have thought of that as younger version of Jenna. So it's really, really nice to have you here. That being one of many reasons it's nice to have you.
Yeah, no, that team was crazy. You know, I think that was the year after I finished playing in college. So, you know, imagine I turn, I think, 23 in January, and then we head to the Olympics in August. So just the amount of talent on that team, experience, and just overall, like, good people. It was the ultimate dream team, just on and off the field. And, you know, anytime you have a group of women or girls, you know, there's always other things that kind of come into play. But I think the biggest thing for us is we were on a mission and we had a goal and we set forth and we accomplished it. And I mean, that's, I think, one of the biggest things I've ever done in my life is going through that journey with those women.
Yeah. I mean, it was so huge just to witness even at the time. So I can only imagine the experience itself. I actually, not long ago, had Leah Amico on the show. So we talked about this a little bit too. And she was saying she was so glad that she was like, I had so many teammates that were from UCLA. And I was just so glad that they got to experience playing for Mike Candrea, you know, like, to have that little bit of U of A representation.
I always say that I lucked out because I'm from Tucson. So
yes,
growing up, you know, I watched Leah and that's where I thought I wanted to go. And as it came time to make my decision, Tucson's a small town and I wanted to have a different experience. And so I chose to play at UCLA, which I wouldn't change it. Like, that's, I think, how I became me, and I had to grow up. And I think being an only child, getting away, that helped me. And my coaches, they all played at UCLA. And that was one of the deciding factors for me of, they know exactly exactly what I'm about to go through. And I just thought, like, who better than to teach me that than the women who came before me? But then at the end of the day, I still got to play for Coach Kondrea. And so I feel extremely fortunate that, you know, everything kind of worked out the way it should have been.
I mean, man, that's a nice story versus, like, it could have been dramatic, right? Like, oh, I'm from Tucson, but I went to UCLA, but that actually makes a lot of sense. And I think people should take that into account when they're going through the recruiting process and things about your fit for you.
Absolutely. You know, I went to Florida State, and it was probably my funnest or most fun, I guess I should say, my most fun visit, but I knew that was too far. And there was a hurricane warning while I was out there. I'm like, okay, this is not for me. And I was fortunate to take some other visits, but U of A, like, that was comfortable. Like, we would go places and I would see people from my high school and, you know, we'd be driving. I'm like, oh, no, you should take a ride up here. And so it would have been kind of the easy choice. But luckily, my parents kind of pushed me of don't take the easy. If this is what you want, do that. But don't just do it because you're comfortable and it makes sense. So I was scared. I went, you know, to UCLA and LA, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And people kind of said, you know, you'll never play. Like, they have seniors at your positions. And I took that as another opportunity to push myself and become better.
When you did play against U of A, especially in Tucson, what was that like?
It was fun. I don't think I ever got caught up in that as much. I was actually just reading through, because my son's now a teenager. He's 13. So he's been kind of Googling. He's like, oh my gosh, you're on the internet. And I'm like, yeah, it's, you know. So he kind of thinks I'm cool right now. So he was looking up some stats and he's like, oh, you hit a home run in your first two times playing at Arizona. And it's like, oh, gal, I kind of forgot about that. But so good memories just on the softball field in general. I don't think it necessarily for me mattered where I was. It was just, I got to play the game.
Right. That's at the end of the day, the goal for sure. Right. And you're on the internet. That's a good way to put it, the way your son said it. I mean, Pac-12 all century team, right? And those kinds of things, it speaks to the level of success that you had and, like, those results that you were able to get. But I know a lot of people say that the journey is really the bigger destination. So in terms of your journey, what do you feel like really actually helped you along the way?
Well, I a lot of times, give credit to my dad. It was, you know, if you're not going to come here and give your full effort, then we might as well go home. So he never talked to me about, why did you swing at that pitch, or, you should have made that play. I mean, my mom would tell me, like, oh, you almost hit it out. I'm like, I just popped up to the shortstop. That's not almost hitting it out. Like, they didn't care about the results. They just wanted to make sure that I was enjoying it and giving my best. So, I think that I'm resilient because of them. Just nothing was handed to me. I was an only child, so I do feel like I was fortunate, but, you know, my dad made me work for him, or both my parents had two jobs when I was growing up. So they showed me how to work hard. And I would say that that's probably the biggest attribute that I have. I was never the strongest, fastest, anything. I knew how to work and I wanted to be good. So, I think my path choosing UCLA was out of the norm. And then going there were so many amazing players: Amanda Freed, Natasha Watley, Stacey Newman, Julie Marshall, Julie Adams. Like, if I wanted to even just be able to hang with them, I had to figure out how to fight every day. Like, they were bigger, faster, stronger. So, my family, my college teammates, my college coaches, they pushed me. They told me I could be better than I was, and I believed them. And so I worked to be that. And so I think that me choosing UCLA went a long ways in who I am today. And I appreciate everybody through my journey.
Ooh, that part about believing them was hit home for me because right. Like we talk about how, like, sometimes you just need a coach to believe in you, but it's like, you also have to believe them that you're capable of what they're saying you're capable of.
Absolutely. I think that's, you know, they coaches tell you all the time, meet me halfway with whatever they're doing. But it's even that part of, we try so hard to instill that into our athletes every year, day in, day out, like, hey, you're capable. But until the athlete really wants to believe that, we can only do so much.
Yeah. And that's anywhere. Like, obviously, right. UCLA, the most historic, you know, softball program in college, no doubt. But I feel like you've had such an interesting experience because you played at a Power Five, at an elite UCLA, you know, with the most national championships. And then you've coached at multiple mid-majors as well. And you're at LMU and you're building that up. So what are your thoughts on the parity that we're seeing in softball now?
Ooh, it's exciting. You know, I used to joke a couple years back for Oklahoma, right? Because that just that dominance and never losing a game in a year. And I'm like, God, that must be kind of boring. And yes, UCLA, we had tradition, but like we still had to fight. When you got into the pack, like it was a grind every single day because everybody's 2 and 3 could be starters somewhere else. So it really was a fight in conference. So I'm enjoying it. I think it makes the game more exciting. Seeing all the games televised, like it's just, it's a whole new day. And, you know, it is like our Coach Enquist used to say, like, the game doesn't know who's supposed to win. What's on paper doesn't matter. It's who shows up, who competes that day, and who can execute. And we talk about all the time, the team that can be the most like themselves, the fastest, is the team that's going to win the game. So it's just, again, goes back to that belief of we all deserve to be out here. We all put our cleats on the same way. 60 feet turn left. Keep it super simple.
60 feet turn left. I remember Laura Berg talking about that too. She's like, you just turn a few times, right? And you keep it simple. Yep.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. Every interview, I feel like that comes up with her.
Yeah, totally.
That's so funny. That's really funny. But yeah, I mean, the parity in softball is great for the sport, to your point, like the growth and all of that. But I feel like we've all known that for a long time, that, you know, there's no name game or that's not going to help you win. I love what you said, though, about being themselves fastest, because you didn't say like be the best, you said be themselves, like the best version of themselves. And that's a really key distinction.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because, you know, sometimes when you see the name across the field, you think you have to be something better. But if you can just be the person the coach recruited, right, everybody's recruited for their own strengths, just be the best version of yourself, that contributes to the team. And if everybody's given their best selves, we can be the best team that we possibly can. And, you know, hopefully more times than not, that leads to the victory. But at the end of the day, you just want to play your best game. And if the L comes with that, you can still go home and sleep at night because you know you gave everything and left it out on the field.
Oh, yeah. And you guys play UCLA all the time.
Like, we do. Yep.
In LA. Yeah. So,
well, and it's crazy because, you know, I do feel like growing up in the area, because we have a lot of local athletes, that's probably who they grew up. They're the first team where they said, ooh, that's where I want to go. And then when things kind of shake out and they feel, it's like now when they go back there, things get kind of heightened. So that is constantly like we go there in the fall just to calm the nerves and like understand, hey, those are still the same players you played on those rec ball fields 5 years ago. You know, it's like nothing has changed, but it's the beast of athletics. You have the news outlets and the parents and the whatever else, the rankings, everything kind of still stands in the way. And so it's just, again, trying to keep everything to a minimum and be our best selves.
Well, and I think it's easy to believe you in those situations, because again, you have that perspective coming from both perspectives, basically, like you were playing in that UCLA side of the house, and then you compete as a coach on the LMU side of the house. So then you're like, okay, well, you're just a very reliable source, you know, for this.
Thank you. I like to think so, but you know.
I was actually recruited to LMU too, back in the day, before you were there, obviously. I won't say how long before, but, we'll go with that. But the views, first of all, are gorgeous. Like, beautiful views, because I did do an unofficial visit there. But obviously it's much more than just views, of course.
Yes, yes, yes.
But that was just like a very easy, like, wow, the second you get on campus, you notice it. But what do you think in terms of like the real stuff of value, like what actually makes it stand out?
Got it. Well, I mean, you're absolutely right. Once you get on campus, and that sometimes is the biggest battle of, hey, just come see us. Cause it's like, where is LMU? It's like, oh, we're in Westchester. Oh, I don't know where that is. Oh, it's just outside of LA, you know, or we're right by LAX. Yeah. So it's, a hidden gem for sure. But I think just, it's more of a how do I like to say this? It's an experience, you know, when you go to a bigger school, sometimes you become another name, or there's just so many people, and it's just a more intimate experience on the athletic side and in the classroom. Yeah. So, you know, undergrad, we're about 6,000, and we're, you know, we're by the beach, and sometimes the classrooms, they move outside, and it's just, it is a SoCal experience. And that's what, you know, the other students are paying for. And then on top of it, you know, my athletes, they know who RAD is. They know who the SWA is. They have relationships. They can interact with them. You know, it's one team at a time in the weight room. It's just, it is a very more, we're here for you, and kind of extended family versus so much of a business.
That's a really good way of thinking of it. I remember thinking specifically about the academic piece you're talking about too, just in the classroom, like you're not as overwhelmed with, there are going to be less lectures with like hundreds of people. And if there are, you might have some of those smaller discussion groups as well, where you can actually like have that more intimate exchange. But yes, I thinking of it from the athletic point of view too is interesting. Like, cause it does seem very tight knit.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And you know, it's just, we're surrounded by great people. So obviously I'm biased, cause you know, I've been here and I was hired by our current AD and SWA, and it's just, we continue to build every year. And just, you know, I actually walked by Craig on my way over here, and he's like, hey, how's the team doing after the UCLA? You know, it's just, they know, he's following, he's asking questions about our athletes specifically by name. Like, it's just, it's really cool to go through.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love to see, I always love when I see essentially alums being ambassadors for their programs, because I think it speaks a lot to the program itself, the institution, like the coaches, everything. Obviously, like we've talked about UCLA, you're probably an ambassador, right? We could say. But I think of people like Sam Fisher too, who, you know, so now I will, you're going to understand my age now, because she and I are the same age. And we played on like, sure. But we played on the same travel ball team, like our first travel ball team together and stuff. And I know she's been, for example, a really big advocate of like, you have to do like what fits for you the best. And she talks about like the size of LMU being something that fit her the best in multiple ways. And then, you know, I know she's in the Hall of Fame now there, and she's been on the show too. And that's, I just think like those, there are such good examples like that.
Yeah. No, she's amazing. First off, our team loves it when she comes back, or she's able to speak, or she reposts things. And she's just one of those personalities that's so engaging, and you want to just be a part of whatever she's got going on. But I actually got to coach her a little bit with Team USA. And so that was my first kind of real interaction with her. And it's, you know, we're up the street at UCLA. I know what LMU is, but I don't quite know yet at that moment. And she kind of opened my eyes to it. So she's just an amazing person. I can remember playing against her here and we were intentionally walking her, and she still hit a home run. So still trying to wrap my head around that, but just, you know, she's one of those rare athletes that just beats her own drum. You know, it's just, I love our interactions with her and what she stands for and her connection to LMU.
Yeah. I was excited to see her. I actually played some summer ball during college with some of her teammates too. Like, obviously I knew her from way back in the day, but during college, you know, the women's leagues, now it's like gotten a lot bigger. But at the time, some of her teammates were on my summer team, and it was cool to hear their perspective too, just like on their experience at LMU and just people from all over the country, because, you know, you have your travel ball friends and you hear from them, but then you get to play on a team with people from different backgrounds like that is cool. And like Team USA, obviously the best of the best in that way.
Yeah, that was one of the cool things as an athlete, of just when you look at them across the field competing against them, you're like, yeah, she looks mean, or she's this, or you have all these ideas of who they are, right? And then you spend the whole summer and you're like, oh my gosh, these are some of our closest friends now that we came to our weddings or we still are in touch with. But that was always my favorite part coaching with USA, is just asking the athletes, like, hey, what do you like so much about your experience or where you are? What are some of your favorite drills? I always thought it was a time to learn and grow as a coach. So definitely, again, some amazing memories with Team USA.
Oh yeah. And I definitely want to ask you more about that for sure. We'll get there. Trust me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
But even hearing that Sam Fisher helped open your eyes to LMU, like, what a cool ripple effect, you know, to see play out. Like, that's exactly the kind of stuff we're talking about.
Yeah. No, she was one of the first people I called when I started looking into the job. And when I got it, I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, when are you coming out to talk to the team? I just so excited to, again, be connected to her in another way.
Yeah. Yeah. I've also, I mean, I got to see y'all play in person too, couple of times this season. So even looking at you all as your current version, and but also back-to-back conference champs, back-to-back coach of the year, back-to-back pitcher of the year in the WCC. I mean, we're in a good place. We're healthy as a program.
We are doing some good things, you know, fortunate that we have support around us and starting to kind of expand in the recruiting process, right? Of once you get a couple good ones, it starts to get, like you said, that ripple effect. But we're excited, you know, and that is one of the things of, okay, just because you've seen success doesn't mean it's going to be handed to you again. And we talk about it all the time of, you can never be that same team or that same person that you were last year or 3 years ago. You know, a lot of times recruits will come in and they'll talk about, this is how I did it in high school, or this is why I was so good. It's like, you're not that person anymore. You've grown too much. So it's figuring out how to take those experiences and those positive things with you ahead, but you got to continue to grow because the scouting reports, how the game has evolved, like the video that's out there, you can't ever be that same person again.
Mm, yeah, that's very true. That's a very like accurate way of looking at it. Because my thing is whenever I see kind of sustained success like that, to your point, it's a new team every year. It's
right.
A new year. It's a new team. It's like a new version of you, right? A new version of the players. So I'm always impressed when you can have that kind of consistency with all of the new factors that are at play every year. So that's why I'm like, well, how, you know, how do you do that?
If you find out, you got to tell me because yeah. We're still trying, you know, trying to build off of it. It is, you know, we talk about it, it's like to be good 2 years in a row, like, okay, you can kind of, but to your point of sustained, you know, and what does that mean? Is it 3, 4, 5, you know, I'm always in awe too of Coach Gasso. You know, when I talk to Patty, it's like, that is unbelievable. Again, the Kondrea and Enquist eras, it's kind of the same thing of how do you continue to get the best players? And then when you have that many all-stars on one team, like that's a whole nother dynamic. I don't know what I want to call it. You know, to have it figure out of how to be selfless and be team first and all those things. It's just, it's crazy. It's fun to watch.
It is. And I think it's going to be fun to watch when Laura Berg, you know, with Oregon State, they're going to be playing with you guys in the WCC next year. So I feel like it'll be a reunion, but also a little competitive version of a reunion. So that must be fun.
For sure. No, we're excited. When it happened, the right when the announcement happened, Bergie called me and I was visiting my family in Tucson. And so I stepped out and we were just kind of giggling about like how cool it's going to be to play against each other. But I can picture her like taunting me, being in the dugout, kind of like, you know, messing with me a little bit. But it's great for the sport, for our conference. I think it's just going to elevate it and create more hype around us.
Yeah. Well, again, seeing people like you and Laura, you know, paying it forward, giving back. Which way do you think of it? I love asking people like you this question too. Do you think of it more as paying it forward or giving back?
Oh, I don't know if I even think of it that way. I feel like I'm still being selfish and just like want to be a part of the sport as long as possible. But I guess maybe paying it forward. I tell recruits this and I tell our players constantly, I loved my experience. Was it hard? Yeah. Was I scared of Coach Enquist at times? Oh, for sure. But I love it. Like I do wish I could go back. So when they're going through hard times, they're questioning how good they are or whatnot. It's just enjoy it because it flies. You're never going to get this time back. So I feel for these kids who, aren't enjoying their experience. And then we do try as hard as we can to be disciplined and understand that things aren't going to come easy and teach them how to work around it, but enjoy their time at the same time. So it's, you know, it's that fine balance. So I guess maybe paying it forward.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. But like in the past, I think even Natasha, I asked the same question and she's like, I guess both. I don't know. I'm like, I think it is both, you know, to a certain degree, but because you're still building, like paying it forward makes sense to me too, you know, and because you've also gone on your own path, like you being at LMU after your playing experience was a different experience and like that's growing it in a new direction. Right. So I think that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, good.
But you said it too, like the memories and the experience, and that goes for college as well as Team USA.
Absolutely.
Like, it's crazy. Yeah. Like what kind of memories stick out to you from all those years?
Oh goodness. The training, I just, you know, how hard we had to work together or being in Italy in running laps around the track when it's raining, or, you know, Central Park and running 300-yard shuttles before the Sports Illustrated shoot. You know, just those random, the bus rides. I mean, I don't know how many cities we'd hit, you know, throughout the Olympic tour from February to probably June or whatever it was. It's just, you're on these five-hour drive bus rides watching Beyonce on the TV or, you know, dancing in the back or trying to find the next place to eat and wandering off, you know, while we're in each city. So it's just, I don't remember a lot of games or scores or how things went, you know, it's just, I remember being around the people and how we made each other feel.
Yes. Isn't that a Maya Angelou quote where it's like people will forget, you know, what you did, or, but they will never forget how you made them feel. That is so true.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a great point. But even that, you've had both perspectives in the sense that you obviously played for Team USA for a long time, but you've gotten to coach. You mentioned that a little bit earlier too. You've coached and you went to Tokyo with Team USA as well. I did. That's awesome.
It was amazing. And it's funny because sometimes I kind of forget, right? With COVID, and people probably don't even know really that it happened or who the coaches were or who was on the team. It's crazy. It's flown by.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just such a weird time in the world, obviously. Yeah, but you know, you having played in the last one before that, right? Like 13 years prior. And then you coached in the first one when it came back. Like, how do you process something like that?
Oh, luckily I was with Bergie, right? So we went through it together and it was just fun. Like I can remember some of the times talking to like Monica and Kat, who played in both, right? Yep. And them just like, oh God, like this isn't exactly the same. And even what we went through as players, like places we could go or what the process was, it's different for coaches. So there's some things that we didn't realize were different. So Monica and Kat were like, oh yeah, don't tell them that we got to do this in 2008, cause we didn't get to do it here. And I'm like, what are you talking about? So it was more for us of reminding them how fortunate they were to be there. Cause sometimes you can kind of take it for granted, right? When it's hard to take something that's every 4 years for granted. But when you had that time off, it was like, hey, you guys, remember the fact that we're even here, because it was 2021 when it was supposed to be a 2020 event in such a odd time for, you know, our world. It was just go out there and play the game that you've been playing since you were 9, 10, 11 years old and make memories. Don't put so much added pressure to yourself, because I think sometimes we get to that point as a failure sport, especially of, okay, it hasn't happened since 2008. It's not going to happen again until probably 2028. You know, like this has to be the one. We have to make history. We have to be the best. It's like, no, you have to be you. And that's all you can do. So I think that was our biggest message of you're here, you made it. Not many people can say that they are playing in the Olympics. Enjoy it. And it was, they did. I think we all enjoyed it, but you didn't have fans. It was just, it was a whole nother experience. So it was just go out there and play the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you said it, all the failure that comes softball, right?
Wow. It's like trying to keep us all on track. That's the biggest part of our job. I wish getting into it, somebody would have reminded me of, hey, your coaches do so much more than teach you how to bunt and hit the curveball. It's like, there's so many other things that go into it.
Wow. Especially now. I feel like it's just, the role has just expanded more and more, you know, as the sport has expanded.
Right. But, yep, absolutely.
Yeah. But how do we learn from that failure? Or like, what can losing teach us?
Yeah. I mean, so many different things for different people, I think, but just, you know, how to work hard, how to have failure recovery and, you know, we tell them like, it's okay to make a mistake, at least make the mistake going hard. Like if you make mistakes passive and on your heels, you're not going to learn as much versus, ooh, if I went all out, I could do it. But it's that self-doubt that sometimes gets in our way. So it's just, I think how to maybe reframe your thought process or even just your training. What am I going to do different this next week? That's the same for us. You know, today's, we had the last 2 days off. It's okay. If we swung at the rise ball too often, how are we going to come back into the zone? How are we going to train ourselves to be a little bit more disciplined? Or if we were taking pitches in the zone, what was our thought process? How do we get away from getting in our own way and kind of freezing when it's time? You know, it's just those little things of, all right, hey, we gotta figure out how to hit a sac fly. So today you might pop up 3 times in the infield, but we have to at least know we know how to get underneath the ball and then kind of grow from there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so interesting. Because it's a tough balance, right? Like we wanna learn from mistakes and obviously get better, but we also don't want to like overanalyze and like dwell too much. And I feel like hearing even from you, right? Self-doubt affects everyone. You're talking about Team USA and like a gold medal team, and like there's self-doubt that you have to fight, right? Let alone like now it's also in the D1 softball level, right? Competing, but that affects everybody. It's not like no one's immune to that kind of stuff.
Oh, absolutely not. I'll tell my team sometimes, and they have the benefit of knowing, you know, some of the women on that dream team that you just, they're smart, articulate, very good looking, fit. Like it's just, there's so many things that people have going well for them. And still to hear them say like, oh, I don't know, or am I going to make the team? It's like, oh my goodness, are you crazy? Like you're the best player I've ever seen. Like, how do you even doubt that you're going to make a team? It's just, it happens to everyone. So it's, we talk a lot about too, of you have to be your own best friend. Cause I know, you know, I know how I talk to Natasha is way different than I maybe talk to myself and vice versa. So it's like, how do you say things that are going to help you become better and not tear you down? And again, it's the thoughts. So, you know, we talk a lot about what comes out of your mouth, at least control those. It's harder to control your thoughts, but if you're not saying negative or you're not putting things out there for other people, then we have a chance. But when everybody starts, oh, it's cold, or, oh, she's really good, or, oh, she's throwing really hard. It's like, no, who's that helping? You're not helping anybody with that. Say things that are going to help us all become better.
Right. Be your own best friend in a world where it's so easy to be our own worst critic too. Absolutely. I'm very guilty of that. So that's going to stick with me.
Yeah. It's hard, but you know, we got to try at least.
Yeah, man, that's so good. I'm absorbing all of it as I should. And I hope everyone else is too, you know?
Man, this lady talks a lot.
No, it's everything that we need to hear, you know? So this is great. But, and then there's fun stuff too, right? Like, I mean, there's the hard stuff, but there's also the fun stuff. I think I read that the Olympic gold medal game in 2004 was your first wedding anniversary. Is that right?
It was. Yes. Good job. yeah, we got married. So, we were engaged while I was in college in my senior year. We were doing all the wedding planning, obviously training. I was still in school. Jason had already graduated. And it was actually just side note. So we were in danger of being the first class to never win a championship at UCLA. So as a senior, just like the effort going and doing extra and trying to bond with my teammates and then planning the wedding and then going to school and then getting ready for the Olympics the next year or tryouts for the Olympics the next year. Like there just was a lot going on. And I think that helped me because you don't have time to just be lazy and sit around or do nothing. True. Like you had to stay on track. So we won our national championship that year. That summer, I trained and we went to Pan Am Games in the Dominican Republic. So for the 3 weeks leading up to my wedding, I was out of the country. So my husband had to take, or fiance at the time, had to take over everything. And then I was home for a week, got married, we went on our honeymoon for like 2 or 3 days in Palm Springs because he was super supportive. He's like, you got to get back. You have tryouts coming up. So that was it. And then went on tour the next year and celebrated on the gold medal game day. So that was really cool.
I mean, gold medal in life and gold medal at the Olympics, right?
Right? Like, holy cow. It was pretty amazing. And I didn't, you know, I didn't know and nothing had planned. It was just, okay, I'm in Dominican Republic for this time. This looks good. Let's go that day, you know?
You're right about the just not having time to overthink too and just doing stuff. My mom's my mom's go-to saying is like, if you want something done, give it to a busy person because you just do it. You know?
Yeah, I love that. I'm going to use that one.
Yeah. Well, it's been so true multiple times. Like I'll be more productive with just, you know, adulting things in the middle of softball season. Sometimes I'm like, how did I do that? You know, I'm like the busiest I've been. No, that's why. Because you're just no nonsense, you know?
Yep. It's that superpower.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But also having the support, like to have a partner who is that supportive, I don't think it can't be overstated, like the importance of that as well.
No, Jason has been amazing throughout my entire career. Even in college, you know, he'd even come up and feed the machine for me at times. And he was telling a story on his Instagram too of Howard Dobson was telling me a story when they were visiting LA for a bowl game. They went up to Easton Stadium on New Year's Eve and they just thought nobody would be there. And all of a sudden, I guess Jason and I come out. And so they're kind of hiding and Jason's feeding the machine. Cause I'm like, not on my watch. Like we got to win a national championship, right? It's senior year. So with that, and then, you know, we were married for 7 years before we started a family and I got into coaching and my career. So it was very much of, you have dreams, let's go. I'm with you on this. Let's train and get after it. And he was even the voice sometimes of like, okay, so I'd have to tell him, okay, today I just want supportive husband. Like, just tell me I'm right and I'm really good. And then some days he would tell me like, well, did you work on that? Did you work hard enough? If you're not hitting the curveball, then maybe you need to take more swings. And it was just like, oh God, okay. He's right. I don't want to admit that he's right, but he just, he was that voice in my head sometimes too of grind it out, man. Stop complaining.
Yeah. Sometimes you just need to hear it. Like we know the answer, right? Yep. But we just need to hear it. Yeah. Yep. And sometimes it is what you said too, though. Like sometimes it is, we just need support. And that's like a women thing as well. I think where it's like, just listen to me. I'm just venting. Yeah. I don't need solutions.
Yeah. And it took me a little bit to feel comfortable enough to like say that, like, hey, just so you know, before we even start this, I just need to vent and you give me a hug and we're good. And he'd be like, okay, perfect. That's what you need. And he would hold his tongue. I'm like, man, okay, he's good. I'm good.
Yeah. See, that's communication, right? Yeah. I mean, not to make this like a marital like therapy session, right? But like at the same time with any partner, it's like we always are like, oh, communication's the key. Communication's the key. But like, what does that mean? You know? Yeah. And this is a good example.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but how cool you get a gold medal on your first anniversary. Like, I'm just never going to get over how cool that is. It's the best. And I'm sure he's like, well, how am I supposed to top this first anniversary? Like, look what she did. You know?
Yeah. Well, it's so funny. We did so we both coached at another university together for years. And we did this like, I don't know, mock TV show, like how well do you know your spouse? So they'd ask us a question. We both have to write down the answer, right? And we'd hold up our cards. And oh gosh, I made the mistake of saying my most prized jewelry is my gold medal. And he put his wedding ring. So I don't live that one down, but it's, you know, right. It's like, He gave me one of them and we earned the other one and they put them together and they're both very important, but you know, the family that we built and our time together obviously overshadows that. Jason, I'm putting that out there for you.
Yeah. On the record. On the record. Yeah, I love it. I love it. I think that those are the kinds of dynamics that are fun, though. You know, like, yeah. Well, I mean, what a champagne problem. Like, oh, is it my wedding ring or is it my gold medal that means more? I don't know. You know?
Oh, my goodness. Yep.
And I mean, unfortunately, though, on the other side of things, thinking about the Olympics, the fact that it's not in Paris, right? Like you said it, like most likely it wouldn't be till 2028 in LA, which would be cool to have it back in the States. But what do you think we have to do to keep it in more consistently in the games?
My goodness.
It's a loaded question.
No, I know. I just continue to grow it in other countries. You know, I think we have great ambassadors that have been going over to other countries. And when our Team USA goes, we have wonderful people representing. It's not popular everywhere else. So it's hard to get everybody to buy into keeping it in. So beyond that, I don't really know if I have a good answer. It's just continue to compete and win and lose graciously, whatever one, you know, kind of is out there, and let people just continue to see how great our game is. And I don't know. I don't really have a good answer for that. It's always hard, right? Everybody always says like, oh, it's because we're too dominant. It's like, well, we didn't win the last two. It's not necessarily that.
It's not that simple. Yeah.
And I think, I know, I don't know if I want to get in the nitty gritty of it, of, you know, baseball versus softball. And but it's just
the popularity of the sport.
Yeah, is very complicated.
Yeah. And they are often like, put together, which in some ways makes sense. In other ways, it's like not exactly the same sport, but right. You know, I understand it's bat and ball sport, all that stuff. I think you're right. And it's interesting too, because it does seem like when the Olympics have been in Europe, that's when we're not on the card. We're not in the agenda, like London, Paris now. But then sometimes if it's in the US or if it's in like we have a better shot probably in Australia in 2032 than maybe we did for Paris, right? Like those types of things. So I don't know if it's that like Europe, we got to grow specifically there, because I think we want to grow everywhere, right? But it's still, I don't expect you to solve like our biggest issue in softball at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
It's more just like, you know, I mean, that's something that we're all working on, right? But I think just having your perspective, having been there as a coach, as a player, all that stuff, is we should definitely listen.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. But, you know, it's same. I probably should have listened more when they're telling us these things versus you just get so emotional and it's like, how do people not like our sport? How is it not popular? Like when we go places, people come and they watch the games, you know, it's just figuring out a way. And I know Coach Kondrea has gone over to Italy and different places and Mendoza. And there are people out there trying to help grow. It's just, you know, when you think about, I don't even know what has happened to the venue in Greece. Mm. You know, it's just, there's more people in Europe. And when those votes come out and they don't even really know or have people that play the sport, it doesn't make sense to them to pay for that many athletes to come over and to build stadiums that aren't going to be used down the line. So hopefully to me, obviously I'm more connected with Team USA and that's a part of my heart, but it's like getting a pro league done here. Like how can we not sustain like other countries can? It's just figuring out. I don't know what the magic solution is.
Yeah. I think that would be a game changer. Obviously I've heard so many great things about the pro league in Japan and people's experience, and that's wonderful. We have all the tools that we need to do that here. So then it's like, I do think like if we can show that stability here, it could only help our case with the Olympics, right? Yeah. Well, that could be its own podcast.
Right. Series. I know. I'm jumping us all over the place now.
No. I mean, I asked because I was like, you're exactly, you know, the type of person whose insight I want. But it does. It's interesting because we've grown so much, but we still want to grow so much more. You know?
Right.
So it's like figuring out how to exist in between.
Yeah. I think we're in the right direction, but like you said, still some not a long ways, but kind of a long ways to go.
Yeah. In certain areas, at least.
Right. For sure.
Yeah. Well, I play a game with everybody before I let them go when they come on the show. It's called Safer Out. And basically, I'll bring up a topic about softball. And if you like it and you agree with it, you call it safe. If you don't, then you call it out.
Okay. I feel the pressure now. My hands are sweating.
You're the umpire. You know, okay. No stress. Everyone's looking at you. No stress. No. So the first one is playing in uniforms that have shorts instead of pants, kind of like the real dream team. Safer.
I guess safe. The ability to choose. They still want to be in pants. Great. I don't think it should be mandated.
Yeah. Would you ever have your LMU team wearing shorts?
Ooh. I wouldn't mind it because we played in shorts in college too. And my travel ball area. Right. So to me, pants are a new thing. So
yeah.
I think having the choice, if they wanted to, we would order them.
Yeah. Yeah. I had shorts and travel ball. I mean, I had both, but like, yeah, I had the terrible tan lines. You know, the stripes on the leg, like all that stuff. All right. That was the first one.
Okay.
Second one is conference realignments. Safer out.
Oh, I'm going to go out. Fact that the pack is no longer going to be in existence, that hurts home a little bit. And some of them just don't make sense to me, but I think it could be good, but how things are right now today, out.
Yeah, I get that. Fair. All right. The last one is bat flips. Safe.
Out for sure.
Okay. So that's what I would have guessed, right? Just based on like, I mean, if I'm looking at the real dream team, I'm thinking that most people probably aren't bat flipping, right? But I've had some people like who are still in the game be like, oh, I've changed my mind a little bit. I've softened to it. I'm like, really? Like, I would never have guessed. But I love that you're still old school.
I am old school. I think do your body work between the lines. Like if – be a gracious winner. I think that it's embarrassing the other opponents where I know some people it's just their celebration. Like we weren't allowed to do the celebrations or the like, you know, they go to the outfield and do all this. I don't even know what they do.
Oh, but, yeah. Yeah.
I have been more lenient on that of hacky sack before the game, how they cheer, doing that kind of stuff. Like, okay, yep. If this is what you need to feel like you're enjoying it, have fun. Awesome. But
yeah,
I'm very much about like cheer on our people. Don't diminish anybody else.
Also fair. Yeah, totally get that. Man. Well, thank you for playing and then just for joining too. Like, I'm so glad that we got to connect. Again, it was great to see you in person, but I'm glad we got to have like a more in-depth conversation too. I love getting to know you and more about LMU too. Like, I'm excited to cheer you all on for the rest of the year.
Oh, well, it's been my pleasure. Absolutely. And thank you for having me.
Another bucket list item checked off. I mean, like I said, Tariah was one of the players I loved to watch growing up, back when she was Tariah Mims, before she became Tariah Flowers and married Jason, her husband, she talked a lot about. But then now meeting her now and seeing how kind she is on top of the success, that's really the gift that this game gives. So with that, let's transition to the foul tip of the week. This week's foul tip is about being our own best friend. Something Tariah said, something we've talked about, and we've touched on a couple of things that she mentioned before in this show, but also this segment. I just think it's so important. We've talked about how important it is the way we talk to ourselves and how we tend to talk in a much more positive way to our friends than we do to ourselves. So like, let's be kind to ourselves the way that we would to our friends. I think that's incredibly important, especially in a game of failure like ours. But on top of that, you know, to me, true friendship means showing grace. It also means honesty, accountability, pushing each other to be better. Like, real friendships have that aspect in it. So that means doing that with ourselves too, right? Like, we still have to keep ourselves accountable, ask the real questions. you know, Taraya talked about how her family asked her, like, well, what's what you really want? Do you want to be on the easy path and stay home in during college? Or do you want to, you know, take a chance and let yourself grow? And those are the types of questions that we can also ask ourselves. And that's still being a really good friend to ourselves. So I think between that, it's really this combination of showing grace, but also pushing ourselves at the same time. And that's exactly what we do with our best friends. It's just knowing when to do what that can get tricky. But as we get to know ourselves better, that pans out. And of course, you can lean on your people as well. So that's it. Be your own best friend. That's the foul tip of the week. You've been listening to Believe in Softball, part of Believe Network and presented by Bet Online. The show is available anywhere you get your podcasts, wherever you listen, including Believe.com and YouTube too. Subscribe to the show, rate the show, and if you liked it, write a review. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Believe in Softball. Again, that's B-L-E-A-V. You can reach out to me personally on Twitter at JennaBecerra01 and Instagram at JennaBecerra as well. As always, thank you for tuning in and catch you soon.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.